I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Aussie Rugby Show in podcast form. If you're new to the setup, you can stay on top of and be a part of what's happening with the show simply by following Rugby Pass and the Aussie Rugby Show on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And bit of a language warning in this week's episode. Enjoy.
This is the Aussie Rugby Show brought to you by Extra Hop. Stops breaches 84% faster. I'm Louise Ransom, joined as always by Drew Mitchell, Stephen Hoyles, Sean Maloney. Guys, we're at the Union Hotel, the home of Norths. Back on your side of the bridge, Sean Maloney.
Yeah, the Bury crew, good enough to have us back. Today, though, we're repping Norths Pirates Rugby.
Yeah, the juniors. Yeah.
The juniors, they play out of Primrose and Tunks Park. Great
we
junior
are.
Club.
Are
the Pirates.
Sorry.
The Pirates. And obviously, a number of these youngsters running around in this red and black will be looking to become Shoreman Monday because they're currently sitting second in the Shoot Shield, going gangbusters. Go the Pirates.
Yeah, they certainly are.
Well, they'll be Norths boys until Sydney Uni get them over.
Whoa.
We can't go there.
Chat for another day.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, guys, let's move on to what got you over the weekend, Hoylesy. What got you?
Well, what got me was I think the South Africans are finally tuning in. Rugby's back over there, and they took offence to your last round suggestion for a draft pick with... Who'd you suggest?
I thought the fat redhead would be picked last. But Kitchoff, he was picked first.
Props are highly respected.
They showed you.
Mate, highly respected, but Reddy Erasmus saw the value in picking a prop and anchoring down the scrum in this fixture. And look, egg's on my face, isn't it?
Oh, he hasn't played yet. But no, look, it's, I just realised that people in South Africa are watching. Erasmus has realised his props are the priority, and that's it, he's gone with their first pick.
For me, what got me was seeing an old teammate of mine, Ma Nonuk, sign up to go back to an old club, Toulon. So they needed a medical joker for the next few months. So Ma's just sort of been keeping himself fit back in New Zealand. I think he hadn't retired. I think he was still planning to go to the MLR. And that might happen after this medical joker. So obviously they see the value and they know what they got from Ma on the field, but also off the field. So great to see him back in the rouge et noir, the red and black as well.
No. How's Toulon going at the moment?
They're not too bad. They're sort of fighting around the playoff spot. Okay. So
They're out of Europe.
They're playing in the Challenge Cup, the second tier European final. They're in that, and Racing and Exeter in the Champions Cup final.
Lou, what have you got?
I've got North related and Shoot Shield related on the weekend, doing an interview with Tim Metcher, the South's captain, and just a little in the background, a little dancing going on. There's good vibes at North.
Just feeling it, wasn't he?
He can move.
Yeah, really quite loose in the warm-up. I was ready to go.
It wasn't the first time. It was the only one that was caught on camera. There was a couple of guys from North that came up and showed their moves.
It looked as though he's a reserve, which probably makes you think that he's played a game of footy beforehand, so keep warm.
Maybe he also knows that he's close to one of these and he can just relax a little bit. I like it.
Okay, moving on. Big stories, and gee, there's some good ones this week, all centred around the Rugby Championship, of course. So, guys, last week, Rugby Australia and SANZA held a press conference in Sydney to say that the draw was set in place, everything was good to go ahead. 7 minutes after they've held this news conference, New Zealand Rugby Union send out a statement and say, no, we didn't agree to all of this. What was your take on that?
So you're saying New Zealand is 7 minutes behind Australia? Is that what you're I'm not sure where you're going with this, Lou. You love bashing the Kiwis.
Only 7 minutes.
Oh, look, it's typical of what's happened in COVID. There's been so many discussions and disagreements over what the Super Rugby format should look like, how many teams they think we should have. It is what it is, and thankfully we've got footy coming up next week. It's confusing to actually explain it, but basically the understanding we have is that Australia supported New Zealand on both proposals, and New Zealand have sort of... They wanted us to do a certain thing when the tournament was going to be played over there, and then when the tournament got moved to over here, they weren't prepared to do the exact same thing. So it's all about trying to get the All Blacks home for Christmas with their families, which we totally get, but you can't put that in front of player safety, and the South Africans and the Argentinians are coming off next to no rugby to jump into test match footy. So there has to be adequate time in between games for them to play test matches.
I don't really have an opinion on this because I think it's so fucking draining. Like, to be honest, like so many rugby supporters like me, and I love the game. I want to know what's going on. But just tune out because it's all just played out and it's toing and froing and it's they said this, they said that. Like,
it's about
one thing the pandemic's shown us is you can get on a effing Zoom call and get in front of each other, have a chat, iron it out. Don't 7 minutes after a press release come out and say something, then have them come back. Like, just iron it out. We don't need to hear that. Get everyone on the same page and then release it and then announce it and then just let the boys play.
It's typical of rugby, though.
It's just too much.
It is a really bad look on the game when everything gets played out in the public.
Yeah.
Like, this could have been sorted out with anyone knowing. Like, don't make public statements and don't announce things unless everyone's signed off on them. Just get your shit together so the game doesn't look like it's at amateur status at suit level. And that's a shame because it's got nothing to do with the players.
Yeah,
the players are the players are the ones that would honestly, hand on heart, say, I don't care where I play, just let me play rugby for my country.
The cynic in me also thought that maybe it moves the story along a little bit from the fact that New Zealand actually lost the sort of right to host the rugby championship as well. It sort of took the focus off all of that and moved it on now to another issue.
Yeah, perhaps a little tactical play, a bit of deflection. But, I mean, either way, like, unfortunately, we're talking about this and not what's going on in camp and all that sort of stuff. You know, there's so many great storylines going into this rugby championship that we could be talking about. But, unfortunately, there's a couple of guys in suits that want us to be talking about them, and they've made a point of it.
And surely this is a win for RA over NZR.
Yeah, it's 1-0 in the blood already.
I was going to say, we should call
it off. We've got one hand on the coach.
Let's just call it off.
Jeez,
no one test series.
It's ours to lose.
Our management team just got it sorted. Off the back of all the drama around Super Rugby and them only wanting two teams and all that sort of stuff, it kind of feels like there's some subterfuge going, you know what?
Yeah, and there's new administration over there, like Steve Tews resigned and it's Robinson, new CEO, and Rob Clark's doing it. So it's always a bit of a power play of, you know, who gets to sort of puff their chest a little bit, but you know, I just can't wait for the games to start.
Yeah, I'm with you too.
One good thing leading into that is they've started playing rugby in South Africa, which is a great thing with the Springboks heading over here. Exciting for them that they've actually got back on the field now and starting to get some hit outs.
Yeah, they've left their run a little bit late, but they have to because of the situation with COVID over there. It's a good thing they're playing. It isn't ideal, but the fact is they're the world champions. Depth has never been an issue for them. I'm not sure what the status is with the players based in Europe, but I'm thinking they're going to get access to the ones they need. But if they don't, the thing we've always spoken about South Africa, like you've seen a whole heap of their sevens are now back in Super 15 or Super Rugby program. So they've still got a very talented bunch to pick from.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of those players from overseas, a lot of them will be involved in some of these finals that are coming up. So we might see them, but perhaps at a later date in the rugby championship. But like you say, they have got plenty of depth. Some of the new guys that have come through in the highlights I've seen over the weekend from South Africa, there is some genuine gas in South Africa.
Oh, yeah, lightning.
They're outside backs. I mean, they've not Mapimpi and Nkosi and all these guys, are, you know, they're electric already. Yeah. But then some of these new guys coming through, you just think, geez.
Rapid.
It's going to be tough.
Rapid.
Yeah.
Another spicy element to the rugby championship. Michael Checker joining the Argentinian coaching staff, linking up with his good mate Mario Ledesma. What did you make of that, Hoylesy?
Yeah, I wasn't surprised. I remember after the 2015 World Cup when, before Michael had re-signed with the Wallabies, there was talk of him going to Argentina.
As a head coach.
Yeah. Mm. I think this is a fair while ago. But he's always been a big city person. Like, he loved Leinster, he's in Paris. I know he's come out and said at certain times that he probably never thought he'd coach against his team, but he's a professional coach, and it's very difficult. If you want to coach international level again, you're going to have to coach against the Wallabies. That's the world we live in. So I think it'd be good for them. I think, I think he speaks the language. He's, very close to
Mario. There's no one out there at the moment that would have a better understanding of the Wallaby squad than Michael Checker, having coached them for the last number of seasons. But also, he's got a really good working relationship with Mario Ledesma, Stud Francais, Waratahs and Wallabies. They know that they work well together. And so they'll be able to take that on into the Argentinian setup.
Maybe the other thing that'll help the Argentinians as well is the fact that they've been stale for the last couple of years at Tesla. We saw it through World Cup as well, because they've had that crossover from Super in a Test. Mm. There wasn't much variation. They probably weren't at their best. Maybe with that new voice in there, new ideas. Mm. You two know it better than Lou and I do. But just to spark them and perhaps trigger them, they might actually ask some real questions through the Rugby Championship.
It's funny, they've always been really successful. Well, they've really performed well at World Cups. So they're at 7, 11, 15, they perform well. It was almost after when they went and spent so much time together in Super Rugby.
100%. Yeah.
They got their Super Rugby side of things right. We know the Haguaras made a final and a couple of years against the Crusaders. Mm-hmm. They lost that final. But then at Test Rugby, yeah, they probably plateaued a little bit. Maybe it was through fatigue or lack of variety because they've been together for so long. So again, them coming together in a short period of time, they've had a huge amount of problems with COVID. They're a side that I think scare teams because you don't know what they're so unpredictable. They go to New Zealand every year and they push the All Blacks and it's always down the last 5 minutes.
I'll tell you what they do enjoy. They enjoy staying in Coogee.
They do, don't they?
They really enjoy it.
Yeah.
So some people down there should be a little bit scared because
I think we're
down at the Coogee just smashing tins and getting right into it. But they do enjoy the eastern suburbs of
that's
Sydney.
A hard place not to enjoy.
Yeah, well, here we go.
They're in New South Wales for a couple of months as well, which makes it easy for Michael Checker to be involved. I'm not sure, but I know in New South Wales, because most of the games are here.
So Michael's now had to leave the Roosters bubble to go and join up with the Argentinians.
Pumas.
The Pumas,
Rory Arnold, injured. Not ideal when people are calling the whole situation of picking two players from overseas for the Wallabies squad. The Arnold Amendment, apparently, that's what my producers
Same
put in
Drew,
here.
You had a good one just before.
The Arnold Amendment.
Did we have to reuse that?
Yeah. We used it before. We
wasted it. So that's an issue. Who else are sort of in the Wallabies sights now?
Maybe his identical twin Richie, who also plays over.
Nice option.
Will Skelton's an option. What we're hearing though is that there wasn't that many people this year putting their hand up because of COVID and if you want to be involved in the Wallaby campaign, it's World Cups. You want to make your run a year or two out for the World Cup. So there's still plenty of players you can pick from. I don't know who we can get back. Some guys have just gone to Japan. There's still a lot of players overseas, but we were led to believe that
this
Rory
might be
was the one that wanted to come back.
This might be a silly question, but do you get paid? Like, do you pick up if you were to come back, would you get an 8-week contract worth
$10,000
a week and then match payments on top of that?
I think
you gave up a lot of money to play in the World Cup.
I would think that things have changed from 2015 when Matt and I.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I came back from Toulon. There was no money in the kitty to pay us.
No, Gitz got paid.
But we also went to Toulon understanding that we wouldn't play for Australia again. So they didn't pay us because they were like, well, hang on, you signed this thing saying you wouldn't. So we were in a different position. Things have changed now. So clubs over there are signing players under the understanding that they might have to let them go. And also Rugby Australia, you would think now that they're actually making amendments to the clauses and in contracts and things like that, that they would have a war chest of cash to be able to offer players something, because it's just, I think it's too hard, especially like you say, this far out before a World Cup, to expect players to come back and to sacrifice the cash that they're on, but also for the other players that that aren't in the Wallaby squad to take a clip on their contracts that then might supplement those players that are coming back. You know, so if one of the players who isn't getting picked, he's only earning 70% of his wage. If he feels that some of that money is then to front one of the guys that's getting picked above him, you know, like there's room there for unrest. But I also think if you're good enough, you'll get picked. So
yeah. Okay. You know, there's injury risk, and you've got guys in Europe that are coming off a season, and you've got guys in Japan that are about to start a season. Yeah. So the Japanese clubs are probably a little bit nervous with their players going to play for the Wallabies, like your Sean McMahons and your Samu Karevis and those sort of guys. Yeah. So
I think we've also got to look at what positions Dave Rennie thinks he needs to fill, rather than just seeing who's available and who wants to come back. To say, okay, obviously the locking position was one that they earmarked, because you know Adam Coleman left, Will Skelton's gone, the Arnold brothers, there's Isaac Rodder as well. So a number of experienced locks went away. So that was an obvious one that we probably could do with a little bit of depth in this current squad. Maybe outside centre could be another one. You know, you've got Hunter Pesami, you've got Jordan Patau, who's injured. Obviously, Reece Hodge can play there as well, but like say Samu Karevi outside Tamura and O'Connor, then you know all of a sudden looks a little spicy. Yeah. But all these will be answered.
Gone but not forgotten, where we remember some of our favourite rugby players for their efforts both on and off the field. Hoylesy, who you got this week?
We've decided to go with Clyde Rathbone.
White Rhino,
you got the better stories. I'll leave it to you. I know what he did do, which was really nice. We've had him, actually, Cooper played his first test, but he was before the game sitting in the stands in a suit eating a pie. It was Elton Flatley who got knocked out in the warm-up, which Adam went onto the bench for. But then during the game, test match was won about 15, 10 minutes ago. Clyde went off, and as he was going off, Cooper went on, and Clyde gave him the wink. So
that's often
kept the tradition alive.
Yeah, the tradition alive. If the game's no longer in the balance and there's a debutant on the bench that you could have an impact of getting them on, you would sort of just say, "Doc, I've got a cork or something." Basically,
get
just
them
get
on.
Me off.
Yeah.
I went off for Kirtley's first one at the Millennium Stadium in Wales. A cork, and he said, "Drew your legs fine." I said, "Doc, I've got a really bad cork," and he's like. Yeah, singled up, get him off. But I joined the Wallaby squad in 2004, just sort of starting to come in. And, you know, young guy. Clyde was the incumbent test winger. And we're playing, we're actually just doing an opposed session, but no contact, like, whatsoever. And I've got a ball off Gitz, just running on, like, on an overs line. And Clyde just come from nowhere, blindsided me, just shirt-fronted me. Whacked me to the ground, and I've just rolled over, and I've just got blood pouring out. He's just like broke my jaw, and I'm out for 6 weeks.
No.
And Eddie's like, "Fucking, I said no contact." And I'm like,
I think Clyde might have been colourblind, because anyone who's in a non-contact bib, but didn't matter with Clyde. He was 100 miles.
He was a white rhino.
Look, I'm not saying it was because I was coming through, but you know.
Yeah. Okay. He momentarily forgot that it was no contact.
No, that's how his whole career.
He was a machine.
Massive. Quads.
Huge quads.
So strong.
There was talk of him maybe going into bobsledding after he retired.
You think in his time in between injuries, he did have a crack at it. Yeah.
He's more recently, he's had a crack at talent management in some regards, looking after his brother, Dwayne. Dane. Dane Rathbone, and he stitched me up a tree.
Dane's a comedian,
so, but I didn't know that. So we're going back like 8 years, and he rings me. Clyde goes, "Oh, you know, what do you got? What do you want to come to this story? My brother, he's an up and coming guy, and he's just having a go, and he wants to become Brummy Jack for a night." I'm like, "Oh, mate, that sounds tops." Like, the way he sold it to me was that his brother had been through some tough times. Come on down to Canberra for the night and watch him become Brumby Jack. And I was like, that sounds terrific. Anyway,
what
so...
What a feel-good story.
I'm like, this is great. And I rock up, I'm like, this bloke's not on the level. Like, there's suddenly just a bit not quite going the right direction with Dano.
Sure.
Anyway, so we...
What you say, 60, 70 cents in the dollar?
Oh, I mean, I don't want to put a number on it. Classic, hard to say. So we get out there, and it was a night of big occasion. Like, there was a lot going on. They do the anthem. And there's the anthem, everyone's there, like some people are crying. He starts cartwheeling in the Brumby Jack outfit right behind it. I'm like, oh, there's something real off about this
bloke. He did get warned about that, didn't he?
He got warned anyway. So the original Brumby Jack man has let it go for the night. So he is like, he's so nervous, his pace, his reputation's on the line. So we get to half time and I interview him, like, "How's it going, Dave? Oh, we're killing it, we're going so great." I'm like, "Yeah, terrific." tragedy unfolds. 2 minutes into the second half, we get out there and he's like high-fiving kids, and all of a sudden in that bottom right-hand corner at Canberra Stadium, he just stands up and goes, whoa! And I'm talking about the biggest projectile vomit you've ever seen. It's like 3 metres.
Through
Brumby Jack's mouth. Yeah. And then he's like, and then he's stumbling around, and then he's like on the ground, and it's so traumatic for the kids. Like, kids are screaming behind him. They're like, oh, Brumby Jack's dead. Yeah, someone goes out, someone put him down, he's done. And it's a kid screaming, it's all going on, it's so bad. And then he's like stumbling around on one hoof, and he's like, and then the film crew has to like assist him and pull him up and drag him back into the sheds. And I get in there and he's got like the white, like this, he's wearing a women's white singlet.
And like a brassiere on or something.
He's wearing a brassiere, and he's like that. And I'm like, oh, mate, are you okay? And then Clyde comes in and Clyde goes.
Clyde had played, hadn't he?
Yeah, he was injured at the time. So Clyde, and I'd interviewed Poey and all those guys. They were like, oh, no, Dane's the best. Anyway, so he's crumpled, you know, covered in spew in a woman's blouse. And then he looks up at Clyde and he goes, I don't know if I'm good for next week, but I should be okay. I don't think they can have you back, mate.
The background of it is he's a stand-up comedian, but he plays this sort of role of someone who's not all there, and I think Sean was basically just taking along for the ride.
Yeah, they got me so good. He would
do the right thing. And
it caused such drama. So the media manager at the time, Woodsy, almost lost his job. I think Fags might have been CEO at the time. I think Jake White was coach. It caused huge drama in Brumbyland. Wow. People were going to go for it. Thanks to Mr. Rathbone.
Aussie Rugby Show mailbag time, brought to you by Extra Hop. There is plenty around this week. We're going to talk about the Wallabies. Tracky Dacks is the question from Jamie Spragg on Twitter. Are this season's Tracky Dacks the worst looking piece of Wallabies kits ever produced?
No, and I'll say that because recently with the Australian Sevens, they were wearing teal as the national colour. Mm. I'm a big fan of stock standard green and gold. I'm a traditionalist. But they have to change the colours every year to a certain extent. It's only off-field stuff, so it's to get...
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Well, you've also bought a camo rashi, Sean, to surf in,
which...
Accurate. I reckon Scott Johnson inspired. Remember when Scotty Johnson rocked up to the press conference?
Right.
Dressed in, like, full camo hat.
They've been
accused of spying. He goes, yeah, look at me go. I'm in my camo.
I also
like it.
I also like the fact that you get to wear the green and gold if you earn the right to wear it on the weekend.
Yeah.
I like that you have a different coloured training kit to the playing kit.
Yeah.
This one's also on Twitter from Matthew Sterling. Who's the biggest taskmaster you've ever trained with, and who's the biggest one now? Drew?
Well, Johnny Wilkinson and Gitz, I think, are the same type of person, just like mentally the way that they apply themselves, almost the complete opposite to the way I did at training. Just... they would just bury themselves every single day, to the point where Johnny had been told, you've got to stop because you're no longer releasing those endorphins that you get when you feel good after a session, because he was just doing it that often. So those guys would just bury themselves. I mean, even now Gitz his training, you know, and he went down to Gungahlin to play for the Eagles down there just because he's just keeping himself that fit and quite the opposite to what I'm doing.
I thought David Pocock was in that category. Yeah. I roomed with him once, and first thing they did was, like, when you land in that, I think we landed in Canberra, they go to the shops and they buy the certain foods that they want because the hotel food didn't have the right foods, and he was eating, you know, porridge and muesli.
Even at 17, when he went to the Western Force, he wouldn't go to bed until he hit 100 passes. You know, like at the carnival where you put it through the hole? 100 passes left to right and right to left, wouldn't go to bed otherwise.
I said after his Super Rugby debut and South Africa for the Force, he was in the gym later that night. So, but from a coaching point of view, he's next to the bar. coaching point of view, I always found Jason Webber at the SNC that we had in the early days of the Wallabies. He was a really, you know, tough and stern strength and conditioner, so kept you on track. Yeah.
Okay. Also, biggest regret in rugby. This is from Big Will on Twitter. He says you can't say losing a Bledisloe Cup. Ouch, because there have been a few of those.
Okay.
Oh, what a wanker.
Yeah.
I'm not answering this question.
Biggest regret? I reckon my biggest regret is not worrying about getting fit, because I was always told to get big and strong. You're not heavy enough, you're not strong enough. So my strength was my ability to get around the park. And with my whole career, not even actually what got me to play professional rugby, I kind of neglected. And because I was always worried about pleasing people to get heavier and stronger, and probably should have just worried about, you know, being fit and fast. I got by because that was what I was okay at. But, yeah, if I could go back and change a few things, that would be the first thing I'd do. Drew?
I don't know, probably just a couple of earlier nights. Maybe
Sean?
Just sneaking before curfew.
Well, if we're just talking rugby professionally, commentary probably have to mirror some of Drew's comments.
I disagree. You do your best work. Hong Kong without this league.
Well, I can't remember where I've been.
That's it for the Aussie Rugby Show mailbag for this week. Thanks to Extra Hop for that. Guys, thanks for your company as well once again. Thanks for your company at home, wherever you're watching or listening. We're a podcast too, so get around that and we'll see you next time.
That's it. Don't forget to subscribe to stay on top of the show with new episodes dropping each week. And remember, if moving pictures are more your thing, you can catch the show at rugbypass.com or via the Aussie Rugby Show on YouTube. Like, follow, subscribe, tell your friends, your uncle, you know the drill. See you next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.